to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You're listening to DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. I'm your co-host, David Quick. I'm the Adult Services Coordinator at the library, as well as the Knitter in Residence. I'm joined by Asia Clark. Asia, I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Hello, D.C. I am Asia Clark, the Assistant Manager of Reading Programs with the D.C. Public Library.
Thanks. Asia is my friend and colleague from K Street. Today on Notes from the Library, Asia and I are going to talk about all things library, including Summer Challenge Wrap-Up, Uncensored Banned Books Week, and just a little kiki from the library. Asia, you've been in your job for about a year now, right?
Yes, I just celebrated a year, Labor Day weekend.
And you came from outside the library. I just finished about a year in my role, though I've been a librarian here at the library for about 6 years now. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you were doing before you were here at the library.
Well, it was a great transition. I was happy to come to the library from the education world. Mm-hmm. I was a teacher for 10 years, a school administrator, and then I did some ed policy work here in D.C. And I saw this wonderful job, and I said, I have to do this, because it took everything that I enjoyed doing programmatically. And then the library does such good work with all ages. So I went for it, I got it, and now we're together.
Mm-hmm. And what are the two main projects that you take care of in your position?
So currently I manage the Books from Birth program, which is the most popular program here in the city. Parents, families enjoy a free book a month for their child under the age of 5. Mm-hmm. And it's been in existence since February of 2016, so we're coming up on 3 years. I've been the manager for the past year. And my second program is the Summer Challenge program, which is really the city's library system's summer reading program, but we rebranded it, Read 20.
Yeah.
And I manage the process of that, and I work with all of you guys, our coordinators at the library, to manage the content.
Yes. And we'll talk a little bit more about Summer Challenge since it's September, and we can kind of debrief, take a breath, and assess what we did this summer. But for Books from Birth, that's one of my favorite programs to tell people about. I'm an adult services librarian, but I love telling people that their children have access to this great resource.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any stories or thoughts now that you've managed that program for a year?
I think the teacher in me always gets excited talking about Books from Birth, because I was an English teacher, mm-hmm. so it's all about literacy. And then the latter part of my teaching career, I was with the little guys. But I think one of the greatest stories that I had, I think it was probably around month 4, I was really starting to get my head around the position, and I got a note, and the note was from a mother I had spoken to maybe about in month 1, and she was someone who was experiencing homelessness, mm-hmm. and she had expressed that she was living in one of the hotels in the city. So I said, well, let's sign you up at the hotel. Not a problem. You know, and I signed her up. She sent me a note and thanked me, because it takes about 60 days for the books to begin. And she didn't know how long she was going to be at the hotel. And I said, well, let's just try it out. You know, you have my phone number. So if things change, you can always call me back and we can make a switch. And, you know, it just felt really good to get that note, because she remembered me. I remembered her. And it helped me to really appreciate how this program really impacts families, because, you know, of her situation, she was able to look forward to this book a month with her son.
Yeah. And I know, you know, working closely with you down on at our offices on K Street, you know, usually you're kind of overseeing the big picture of some programs, but a lot of times I hear you on the phone talking one-on-one with people who are receiving this service and making sure that it's working out for them. And I think that's really great that we're able to help people individually kind of make sure these services work well for them.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's kind of surreal, because mm-hmm. when you look at the return of address, it doesn't just say DC Public Library. It actually says Asia Clark. Mm. So when I go out to meet people, you know, hardly do you ever, it's almost like meeting this manager, you have the face to the name, and they're like, really? You're the person that's sending, and I'm like, I'm not really the person that's sending you the book, but I am here to help you. But then I think about it, I'm like, oh my goodness, my name is really on the book, so I'm accessible. And it does bring, you know, this reality to how I'm putting a smile on these kids' faces, sure. You know.
That's a little creepy that your name is on every book.
It can be. Yeah. I got over it.
Good. And if somebody wants to sign up, what do they have to do?
So they can definitely sign up through the DC Public Library website. We have a link. In addition, they can go to Imagination Library to sign up. We are in every single branch, they can sign up as well. So they can do it virtually. They can go in person. And we have most recently been partnering with the schools. Mm-hmm. So it's nice as well because the school media specialists have our information. And when children come into the city, because, you know, that's the population we can never really touch. I move into the city, I'm 3. DCPS provides this early childhood education at age 3, which is great. I might not touch that child, but the media specialists are able to do it. So if somebody moves in from out of town, they can get to be a part of the program that way.
That's great. Yeah, big shout out to media specialists and school librarians here in DC. They do really important work.
Yes, and, absolutely.
It's great working with them. So the other program that you manage is Summer Challenge, the program formerly known as Summer Reading.
Yes.
What would you say about this year's program? What were the new things that we did?
Wow, we really shook it up. Yeah, we shook it up. And that was something, you know, we had those conversations. Remember early on, you're like, do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? But we all wanted to do something innovative. And I say we, just to give context, for those who are listening, our team consists of children's coordinator, early literacy coordinator, of course, David, who's our adult coordinator, and our team coordinator. Everybody had these great ideas, but you have to figure out how are you going to execute it, right?
Yeah.
So we decided to build in a matrix, monthly incentives, and really just to try out new things to see what works well, because we wanted to focus in on two main things. Engagement. We really want people to come to the library and know that there are these great things to do all summer long. In addition, we want people to read. You know, kids, they're out of school for 2.5 months, and we don't want them to just remain stagnant. We want them to grow. So that's where our logo came in with Read 20, our slogan. Because if you just read 20 minutes a day, that really kind of keeps your brain moving. And so we were using that as ways to engage everybody, whether you were a baby or 60. You know, read 20, read with your grandchild, read with your friend, read social media, read, you know, newspaper article, read instructions. And I think that is probably the biggest shift. And it really caught on, you know. I had random conversations, and when I said read 20, oh, I saw that on the bus, you know, and I do that already, so this is great. So that was the biggest change.
Right.
And then we started to incorporate programming, different types of programming, and have that included in the read 20 because it's the library. So all of our programming has something to do with literacy.
Right.
So before, that wasn't something that counted. Now it does. So now people are really engaged and interested in what the library has to offer. And then that's where we're kind of moving toward, hoping that people really become engaged with all of the library has to do. So we needed to shake things up to kind of make that an opportunity for people.
Right. And I think from the adult services end, that Read 20 challenge became a nice opportunity, because getting those adults who already read a lot is not that difficult. I'm kind of engaging them and doing things with them. They already use the library, a lot of them. But engaging people who don't necessarily think of themselves as readers to say, you know, just take a little bit of time every day was a nice way to frame the program and reach out to people. So I really appreciated that.
I agree. I think that you framed it very well, you know, helping people to view themselves as readers. I think that was really a goal that we were able to accomplish this summer.
What was your favorite prize that we gave out this year?
My favorite prize.
And you know what I'm going to say mine is.
We had some cool prizes. So I like the collapsible water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I have used it a few times, you know, not telling on myself, but I'm a festival goer. Mm-hmm. So I was able to use that at barbecues, and I've gone to a couple concerts, and it slips right on in, you know, my bag. And, you know, I can freeze it overnight. That was my favorite prize.
Yeah.
What about you?
Nice. Well, we, from my little committee that I had planning the adult side of the program, we tried to create some prizes that looked a little more handmade, looked a little more crafty, and we put a fun kind of old school library due date card
I
graphic
love that. On that
a
was cool.
couple of our prizes. And some folks from our lab, so a little shout out to our labs who kind of are our folks who are making things by hand or making things with laser cutters and 3D printers, made a very cool woodblock print of this this library due date card thing. And we took a day and we printed out all these little notebooks that had this cool graphic on it. So that was a lot of fun. And I hope people have been enjoying those. There were also some tote bags that went out.
let's talk about those tote bags.
Those tote bags, you know... Those companies that sell those things, they make things look bigger than they are, and they add sometimes. So they ended up being a fun size tote bag. So if you got one, I hope you're enjoying it this year.
Yes, I think it would be really cute for my mom's toy dog. Okay. But they were really cute. I think that was a good idea. Yeah. I actually like the mini pad as well, and I think that they. It was very nostalgic for those of us that remember the car catalog. It was really kind of cool to see it again in that form.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's a reminder. We support readers, but we also support writers, and we're looking ahead to some good writing programs in November for National Novel Writing Month.
Nice.
So any writers out there, keep an eye out for those programs. We're going to do some fun stuff. And you just went to an end of summer challenge. Teen program, right? The Beyond
yes.
Books?
Yes, that was one of our changes too, programmatically. Mm-hmm. So Beyond the Book is a program that just got a revamp. It's something that the team has done years prior, but this year they incorporated visual arts, which was really cool because this allowed multiple intelligences, which is, that again, my educator brain is going to always come into play here. Yeah. And as soon as
Because in the past it was an essay.
It was just an essay contest. Right. Yeah. And I shouldn't say just an essay contest, but you know there are those that they're not going to respond to essay. That's not their forte. They may know how to write, but that's not something that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some great artists in this city, so give them an opportunity to display that, and we did. We got some really great stuff. We had the showcase on Saturday, and what Mel and Joanna is on our outreach team, so shout out to Joanna, and Mel, who was our team coordinator, shout out to Mel. They got together and they partnered with the art lab at the Horsham, and they had presenters from their workshops and cohort on Saturday, some teens. They were really great spoken word artists, singers, rappers. They performed for us an array of things. I was there early, so I got to see them warm up, and it was nice because they were like amped and, you know, really, they're really performers.
Sure.
And it was great because I think they actually prepped the scene for those who won because they aren't performers, but then they felt motivated to read aloud their writing. It was really nice to see it, and it was the first one. So this included the showcase. We were able to read, to hear some of the samples of writing, see some of this great art, and we're hoping to build on it for next year. We have a great partner in the Horsham, and the city overall has a great art scene.
Yes.
So we're hoping that we can partner with that to make it even more robust.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's great. I think that program that Joanna and Mel coordinated was a really nice addition to the summer challenge this year. And not just the Hirshhorn, but Smithsonian art museums and institutions in general have been really open and receptive to doing things with the library,
yes.
which has been really nice to see lately. So thank you, Smithsonian. So on the adult end, one thing that's at the end of summer challenge is that, yes, we did try to reach those 20-minute readers, but we did also still try to maintain a program for the super readers, the people who do just read and read and read all summer. And we had 20 people who read upwards of 80, 100 books who are going to all get tickets to the Uncensored cocktail party this Friday. So that's exciting. Woo-hoo. But we also challenged our local booksellers to compete with each other to see which bookstore had the team with the most readers.
Oh, that's cool.
And I told them I would announce the winner today on live on air. And like last year, it was East City Bookshop. They really brought it, and their average reading for the summer was higher than all the other booksellers. So good job, East City.
Wow, good job, East City. I like that bookstore. I don't want to promote any one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I like them all, but I think it's in a cool part of the city.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And their staff member, Cecilia Cackley, was the readingest bookseller of all the booksellers.
Wow.
Too.
Say that five times fast. No, just plain.
So we have a repeat of last year. Good job, East City, and good job all the bookstores. They've all been really open to it, and I count them as our partners and our family in kind of leading the literacy and reading community in DC. So I'm really always grateful for all the things that they do here with us at the library.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So now let's just chit chat a little more.
Oh, I love to chit and chat.
Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about what we're reading. What are you reading right now?
Well, I always like to read more than one thing at the same time. But I am glued to a book called Welcome to My Breakdown by Benilde Little.
Mm-hmm.
So last week I was visiting one of our branches. I was at Capitol View. Shout out to Marcus and his team. Mm-hmm. Great people over there. And the name of the author just popped out. And I was like, Benilde Little, I haven't seen anything from her since Good Hair. And it was this great book that I read, I want to say at least 15 years ago. It might have been longer. And that book meant a lot to me. We can get into that a little bit later. But so I immediately picked it up, started reading it. So this is her memoir. She's sharing why she fell off the face of the earth, because she hasn't been seen really since that book. And, you know, it is stemming from the death of her mother. So she's sharing with us and that experience and what it did to her. And it's happy at times because it's a memoir. So she has all these great memories. But then, of course, there's that tearjerker. And she's a great writer. So like Good Hair, when I couldn't put it down, I've been carrying this on the metro with me on the bus, going to work, trying to fit in 10 minutes of reading. It's mm-hmm. a really good book.
Cool. And what was her first book about?
Her first book, let's see, it was about a lot of things, but it was the first book that I read by an African-American woman that spoke about modern times. I was in my 20s when this book came out, the struggles with our hair.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things to talk about with an African-American woman and the struggles with her hair. The weather, you know, if you've ever heard me come into work, I'm like, it's so humid outside, my hair is just like growing. And that's anybody. But for, you know, for a woman who's going natural, there was a time where it wasn't looked upon favorably. You know, perhaps you were intimidating or you were going against the grain, so we would perm our hair. And then many women decide, I'm not doing this anymore, because there's other things that go into perming your hair. You're damaging it, but you're also altering what your hair looks like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Black women always struggled with that because they wanted to be seen as who they are, and why isn't our hair acceptable? And that was the first book. Of course, she talked about too, it was a love story, so she had a significant other. But that was the main theme that came out of Good Hair. And there's other things within the Black community with what is good hair? Who has good hair? Mm-hmm. Oh, your hair is curly. It's good. My hair is nappy. You know, so I need a perm. I need that creamy crack, as we mm-hmm. call it. And I really appreciate it, because at the time I was in college and I had cut my hair. I had cut my perm out, and my hair was long. It was all the way down my back.
Mm.
And I cut it completely off, thinking that I was going to have a little mini afro, because I had grown it out for 6 months, and my hairdresser kept saying, no, you don't understand, like, you need to grow it out more. So when she actually cut all of the permed hair out,
mm-hmm.
my hair was so short. I had never seen myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 20 years old. I'm identifying my beauty with my hair.
Mm-hmm.
and now my beauty is gone. So when I read this book, there were a lot of things to me that spoke to my heart, and I was able to get through it. My hair grew back, but it was at that point now, you know, I cut my hair when I first started working with you a year ago, cut it down very short. I don't have that same feeling anymore because I don't associate my beauty anymore with my hair. I cut it. I figure it's hair. It grows. It is what it is, you know, but it was at that point in my life. And some women never, you know, get to that point or never experience that. But she meant so much to me. So to see her come back with this memoir, you know, of course I wanted to read it because I'm like, you know, there was so much more she could have given us, but I understand why she, you know, had to take a break.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had hair. So.
But you look great.
Thank you. Thank
you. You look great.
Who has the best hair on K Street? No, don't answer that. Well,
that's debatable.
We have lots of beautiful colleagues. It's a great place to work. I appreciate hearing you reflect on those books, and it's certainly one of the reasons I'm a librarian, that we just get to hear people connect with books and kind of gain entry to other people's lives and gain kind of more compassion and empathy through storytelling.
Yeah. And, you know, before we started, I said to you, I was like, this is a book I think I'm motivated now to go back. It's great, right, being in the library world, because you have these great books that you have access to, and you're like, I haven't read that book in like 10 years, about 10 years. Yeah, let me go back to it. Different time in life, you see something different in it. You can take another piece of it. So right now I'm remembering good hair for that one part, but I kind of am sketchy on the love part because there was a love story. So I think the next time reading it, I'm going to focus on that because I think I might get something out of it differently now, you know, because I'm in a different phase of life, you know.
Do you reread books regularly? I don't often, but I always think about doing it.
In my teacher days, I had to.
Yeah.
Because it would make life easier as a teacher. So if I read The Great Gatsby 1 year, I definitely didn't want to change my curriculum the next year because I wanted to make my life easier. And I've read that book so many times, but now I can say that if I reread a book, it's because of pleasure and I'm looking forward to reading it. And so I have gone back to kind of reflect on some things, especially now, like in the, you know, things going on around. I'm like, you know, people are always dropping, like, did you read this book? You know, that's just like in, and I'm like, oh, let me go back and read that because my lens now is different. Before, if I may have read it, it was because I was teaching the book. It wasn't recreational.
Yeah.
Now I can do it for myself and recreation.
Yeah. And how was, I mean, I come from a family of teachers, but I never had to do that, reread a book every year. Did you feel like that actually did allow you to teach the book better, or did?
It did.
Yeah.
I was able to get something out of the book each time I read it.
Yeah.
I was not, I am going to toot my own horn. I am not the type of teacher that had a lesson plan and okay, it's done. I would switch them. I had a basis, so if I did it the first year, that was a foundation. But if I did it the next year, I used the foundation to build on it, make the house better, you know, renovate it.
Yeah.
So it was nice because I really got some good things out of some books. You know, a classic, To Kill a Mockingbird. There were some things I missed the first time I read it, even in high school. And then, this, you know, as an adult, I'm reading it and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Sure. I don't remember that. So I didn't want it to be stale because then it would be stale for my kids.
Yeah.
So.
What was your favorite book to teach?
Let's see. That's hard. so many good books. I was able to teach African-American literature the last 3 years of my tenure as a high school teacher. And I had a phenomenal class. They were so smart. I swear I feel like they were like 25 years old mentally. And we read Sula by Toni Morrison. And it was a great conversation amongst the group, like we're sitting here talking now. It was such a robust conversation. I felt like I was talking to little adults because they got it. There were, if you read Toni Morrison, sometimes too early, you just have to focus on the fundamentals, and there's going to be little details that go over your head. But it's almost like these children had lived, and they were like, wow, did you pick that up, Miss Clark? Miss Clark. Mm-hmm. They would come into class the next day. I read ahead because I just couldn't stop. And that was a great book to teach. And the class was a very good mixture of boys and girls, and it was good to get their ideas of relationships.
Yeah.
You know, we had a debate about relationships amongst men and women, because the two characters in Sula, it was two women and their lifelong relationship. And it was interesting to see, you know, the difference in how the boys felt, like how they interact with their homeboys and, you know, their buddies and their best friends versus how girls interact with each other and how they grow.
Right.
So
that's great. A lot of young men should be asked to do that, to think about.
I agree.
How women relate to each other and to mm-hmm. men, and to really think
early
about that.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier than 17 and 18. But that's a whole nother rabbit hole, right?
So those are both books that show up on banned books lists mm-hmm. a lot for a variety of reasons. You yes. and I were just talking about that while we got our coffee. What do you think about that? I mean, even not necessarily knowing why any given book would be banned. Were those books that still were kind of rich with those kinds of ideas that people that get people in trouble and things like that?
Yes. I think it's funny to think about it that way, because as I said earlier, I didn't even know that those books were banned.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just challenged.
They didn't
necessarily
challenged.
Get removed from a shelf, but that's sometimes that's what those lists mean.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that. And I think it's really funny, because I, given a certain period of time, I can see why, you know, where the world was.
Yeah.
Then you read some of them. And I remember reading The Catcher in the Rye as a teacher. I never had to read it as a student. And then when I read it, I'm like, really, this was challenged. Like, yeah. this was something that was challenged. But it does help you to see how progressive the world is becoming
mm-hmm.
and how far we've come
sure.
or how far we continue to need to go.
Yep.
You know, so I like this week. It's very educating.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Our kickoff event for the week last night was with Racine, who hosts a bunch of community events kind of centered on the GLBT community here in DC, but open to everybody. And she did a Racine's Reading Room at our Shaw branch. And I'm pretty sure that was the raunchiest program I've ever seen at a library. And it was just a good reminder of libraries being those spaces where you can really speak and say things mm-hmm. and have fun and be playful and raunchy sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need to balance that with respect and the needs of a public space. But it was also a lot of
absolutely.
Fun to kind of lean into that and just lean into ideas and words that people consider dangerous. So
absolutely,
everybody out there, keep up the raunch. Well, in terms of what I'm reading a book called The House of Broken Angels by Luis Alberto Urrea, and the reason I'm thinking about it is because I saw him speak at the National Book Fest.
Nice.
He's a Latino American author, Mexican American, and just really speaks from his own family's life and family's experience. And this is the novel based on the life and death of his brother, and he just told really good stories about his brother. And at the fest, I saw him right after I saw Meg Medina, who's a kids author.
Mm.
And it was just a real joy to see two Latino authors mining their life experience at a time when the place of immigrants and Latino Americans are fraught, to say the least.
Yeah.
And it was just a good reminder of all the rich contributions they've made to U.S. culture and society. But Meg's book, Yaqui Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass, is part of our...
I like that title.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Yaqui Delgado Wants to Kick Your Ass.
Love it.
It's in the Uncensored Scav Hunt right now, so...
Wonderful.
Copies of her book are hidden around the city.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the books out there?
I have not seen any of the books. I see right now a marquee that
here at the Line Hotel.
Here at the Line of Hotel that says that one is here, but I have not seen any out in the city yet.
Does it say it's here?
No, I'm sorry. It says September Banned Books Scavenger Hunt. Maybe I'm being a little bit proactive.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that's certainly been a lot of fun, and the books are still out there. There's 6 copies, and if you get all 6, the spines of the books make up a picture of a raised fist. So try to find all 6.
Oh, that's pretty dope. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a project spearheaded by our foundation, and they do a great job.
Wonderful. Let's put that on a tote bag next summer.
Okay.
I like that.
Done. Mm-hmm. Well, Asia, when we first started talking about doing this radio show together, and I think, you know, this will be a regular in the series, is the Deja Show.
The Deja Show.
We talked about actually focusing on how the library saves you money, right?
Yes.
Like, what are these things that you get with your library card that you might otherwise spend money on?
Yeah.
And we were just going to trade examples of that. Do you have any favorite examples that you want to share?
I have quite a few.
Okay, let's go. Okay.
So, first of all, parents, in the summertime, the programming. I am a child of a woman who was queen of free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a Mary Poppins bag, as I called it, filled with snacks and would take us to all the free programming. The library is that space. Mm-hmm. You know, there are plenty of things to do at the library during the summer that are free to keep your children busy and active during the day, and in a lot of cases, the evening, depending on your schedule. So that's one of my favorite things. I would also like to discuss all of our Go Digital. I think that's probably like our biggest thing. I think it's great. I love to see people's eyes when I'm talking to them, and I'm like, "Do you know you can stream television?"
Mm-hmm.
They're like, "What? You can stream? Excuse me, scream. You can stream television? Yes, you can get 6 movies." And I think,
what's the name of that?
That's Canopy. I'm sorry,
Canopy with a K.
Canopy with a K. I think that's my favorite because I broke up with cable such a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I broke up with cable and was alone for a long time because people would come over my house. "You don't have cable?" But now it's popular to break up with cable, so I'm not by myself. But Canopy makes it very easy or helpful because you get those 6 movies. And really, you know, when you have a job and you have a life, 6 movies is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's actually more than enough. I don't think even before Canopy, I would watch more than 6 movies. I don't have time for it.
Right.
But it's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What are some of your favorite things?
Well, in that vein, you know, Overdrive is our online book collection.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a reader, that's great. You don't have to buy any books if you don't want to. You don't even have to leave your house. Although we love to see you at the library, please just download at home, and we're happy to have you. But along with that, we have a great resource called Freegal, which is an online music collection.
Yes.
That, you know, when Aretha Franklin died, I could go to Freegal and just sit and listen to her music and kind of soak in it. And it has a lot of kind of the old stuff, too. You know, if you really want to...
Yeah.
Dig into someone's full discography and learn where they started. You know, she made a lot of different kinds of music before she kind of became the Aretha Franklin that we really think
she
of.
Did.
You know, she made, and I was glad to go back and just listen to that stuff. Freegal's a good one. And one that I like to tell people about in a completely different realm of knowledge is lynda.com, which is it's an online kind of business and learning platform that usually you can spend a lot of money on a subscription for it, but if you want to learn Excel, Access, Publisher, Illustrator, if you want to learn coding, if you want to learn project management, it's on all these online classes that you have for free with your library card. Have you used it at all?
Actually, I just had this conversation with someone at work who works with us at K Street because I need to brush up on Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Carmen. Carmen is our, shout out to Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
She's on our team. And she's like, "Why don't you just use Lynda?" And I appreciated the reminder because I'm like, yeah, like I'm sitting here trying to schedule time to go to this class where I can do it on my own on the weekends. And it's free. I don't have to, there's a lot of free resources, but what's nice about the library is that there's such a convenience to it with the Go Digital campaign, because yeah. I can do it at the convenience of my home, you know? So the short answer is no, but I will be using Lynda very soon.
Yeah. And there's things on there that, you know, they have drawing classes on there. So even if, you know, you just want something for your own kind of lifelong learning, ongoing education, there's things like that on mm-hmm. there. So,
especially, you know, in a world, we don't have those magazine stands like we used to. Mm-hmm. So I like, you know, our Go Digital camp where we can download the online magazines for free as well.
RB Digital.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's great, because gone are the days where I'm going to have stacks of magazines in my house to take to school to use for collages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even in that job role anymore, and then I hate having to bundle all that stuff up. So it's great that I can just download it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah, you can get the New Yorker for free every week with your library card.
Yes.
Do you miss making collages?
No, I do not miss making collages or grading them.
Right.
Absolutely not.
And outside of RB Digital, we also have free access to Consumer Reports, which a lot of people don't know. So, having worked at a branch library, Consumer Reports is probably in that top five. Do you have this thing? And so having it online is a great thing. I would add one last thing. Our business resources, like Reference USA, Demographics Now.
Yes.
We just did a training for entrepreneurs who, I think a lot of people don't know what the library has to offer, let alone these kind of specialized professional resources. And that was really a pleasure to see them know that they could do market research, like really good quality market research with this resource with their library card. So any entrepreneurs out there listening, take a look and keep in touch with us, because we want to do more for you here in DC.
I think that's great. We are in a city that has a lot of budding entrepreneurs and great talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to start a business. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So when you have an opportunity to take resources for free, I think it's a great idea for them to come to the library and just find out. You know, if anybody says, what does the library offer? If you're an entrepreneur, go to the library. Just ask any one of the staff members, and they should be able to express to you what we can give you that will probably save you thousands of dollars. Would you say thousands? You think thousands?
Could be over time.
Yeah.
For sure.
I definitely believe it could be thousands. Mm-hmm. Easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a library card, go get you one.
Mm-hmm.
So let's bring our conversation full circle as we get to the 40-minute mark. We did summer challenge. Now we're looking ahead to winter challenge.
Yes.
What are we looking at for this winter?
I'm excited about winter challenge, because when I think of the cold, I do think of cozy reading style, you know, curling up. I know we're in DC, and so my expectations need to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. However, I'm a northern girl from New Jersey, so I still like the cold.
Yeah.
However,
me too.
Yeah. I think it's great to have things that are family oriented in the winter, right?
Yeah.
So I'm excited about what we're going to be planning as far as programming, because it's really, the challenge is going to be about our programs. You know, we're still going to challenge you to read 20 minutes a day, but we're going to give you opportunities to do it. So we're going to be highlighting some of our great programs that are going to be taking place, especially during the break time when the kids are home from school. And we're going to extend it a little bit into January. So hopefully, you know, I want everybody to stay tuned to what's to come, because we have some great opportunities. I know one thing I can talk about is our partnership with NSO, the National Symphony Orchestra.
Great.
They are symphony in your neighborhoods. They're at two of our branches, one being Shaw Neighborhood Branch. Our second one will be Irondale very soon. Stay tuned to those dates, because that's a great family-oriented program. Listen to some beautiful music in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. We love that, don't we?
Yes. Are they still going to do the instrument petting zoo like they used to?
Isn't that nice? I was kind of confused as to what that was, but yes, they're going to do the instrument petting zoo. And last year, something that we're going to keep in place, we did a read-in.
Yes.
And the read-in was at the National Building Museum. We're looking to do that again this year as the kickoff, and bookend it with a closing read-in A different location. We haven't settled on that, but we are vigorously working on it. And the read-in is just a great opportunity for you to take part in some of our library services. We had last year a partnership with the PAL dogs. They came in, the kids were reading to the dogs, and mm-hmm. that was really cute. We had a mobile library checkout. We had a maker space, and the kids were working with the 3D printer. And they had blankets rolled out right in the middle of the atrium at the museum, and they read.
Nice.
You know, it was really cute. And we want to do that again and make it better, build on it. I'm all about the foundation. So we had a great foundation last year. So we're looking forward to building on that.
Excellent. Yeah, I remember the first time we had those dogs at Southeast Branch where I used to be. I was just shocked that kids love to sit and read to dogs. It's not hard to make them do it at all. There's something really
soothing,
kind of soothing and lovely about it. And mm-hmm. so I'm glad that we'll continue to do it.
Yeah.
And we'll try to add an adult component to that as well. Maybe a silent reading party or something.
Yeah,
like that.
That's one of our add-ons to make it more robust. We want to get the adults involved. Usually our winter challenge program is focused on kids, but no, we want all our reading programs to be family oriented, and we want, if you even don't have a family, we want to be your family, you know, be a part of our winter challenge.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All right, would you add anything else in our little conversation about the library?
The library is great, guys. Just come. Mm-hmm. Just visit. Go on our website and just check out some of our listings, because there are so many great things that people should just check out, and it only takes a minute. That's mm-hmm. it.
Agreed. I love the library, too.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up now. This has been an episode of the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasted live from the Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. For more information about the DC Public Library, visit your nearest neighborhood library or dclibrary.org, and follow us on Instagram at DC Public Library and Twitter at DCPL. Please download the show wherever you get your podcasts by searching for Full Service Radio. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.